Take your Bible and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. I want you to find verse number 1 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Once you find it, would you please stand with me? We'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. I'll read just three verses. I'll refer to many, many verses throughout the sermon. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 1, it says this: Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows, and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren, Benjamin. Now I want you to look at verse number 8, and it says, And of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness men of might, and men of war fit for the battle. They could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. Look back at me, if you will. Here the Bible talks about people that were fit for the battle. Let me say this, and then you'll hear me say it again in a little while. Your great battle takes place in your mind. The great battle is in your mind. What the rest of you does, what your body does, it all starts in your mind. I'd like to help you at that battlefield today, winning your mental battles. Father, I need your help. I need, my heart is tender this morning, but I need my heart to be exacting. I need to teach, I need to preach, and I need your help. I love the people that I stand before at this time. I want them to have victory. I do not want the devil to get the best of them. So today, reach down from heaven and do something supernatural in someone's thinking. Somebody who lost the battle last week needs victory this week. May it be a part of what is said and taught today in this place, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Listen to me very carefully. A group of warriors met David in a place called Ziklag. They were called his mighty men. If you were listening as we read the scripture, it said they were helpers of the war. These men were skilled warriors. They were ambidextrous, meaning that they could use their right hand or use their left hand. Now, I can do that with my fork and spoon. They could throw stones with their right hand or their left hand. They could shoot a bow with their right hand or their left hand. A group called the Gadites joined David. These men could handle a shield and buckler. A buckler was a round shield that had a strap on it that they would use to help keep themselves safe. The scripture said that these men could run like a deer. On their faces you could see the courage of a lion. They're called the mighty men. I was enamored at something said about them, and I wish it could be said about all of us. In 1 Chronicles 12:8, it said that these men of war were fit for the battle. They were fit for the battle. Those words, they captured my attention. I have a question for you today. Are you fit for the battle? Are you prepared for the battle? Folks, we're in a battle. Amen. We've known of many battles in history. The battle that we even currently fight with ISIS. There's the Battle of Normandy. There's the Battle of Jericho. One day, the Battle of Armageddon. I, this week, fought the Battle of the Bulge. Matter of fact, I'm still fighting it. We're in a battle. We come to church and we laugh and we sing, and boy, there's just it's a haven, but there's a battle that we face. You face your foe, the devil. And the war, folks, it's not with you and I and between us. The real war is with the devil. It's with Satan. Now, I love you, and I, as a pastor, I want you to be fit for the battle. We have way too many casualties in Christianity. Why? Because they're not fit for the battle. You know, the Marine base is not too far from here. Let me explain something to you. When you go through boot camp, you go through boot camp, and the intent is that you come through boot camp fit for battle so that you can survive the war that's ahead of you. If we could, I'd like this church service for just a short time to be a little bit of a boot camp. I'd like to help you to become fit for battle. If you use your training that you're given today, I think you can survive and you do not have to be a casualty. But I want you to understand, there is a battle. You are in it. And there is a way to survive the battle. I'm going to give you, I call this a sermon of spiritual logic. You'll have to stay with me, but if you'll listen, I can help you so that you don't lose the battle in your mind. In your mind. Number one, the great battleground is your mind. The great battleground is your mind. Romans 7:23 says, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin." Here, God said, there is a warring that is going on in our mind. Notice, there's a war. It goes on in our minds. Your mind is the battlefield. Our minds are virtually war zones. They're battlegrounds. Your mind is also the prize. You see, your mind is a valuable possession. Satan would like the battleground of your mind to belong to him. But Jesus would like the battleground of your mind to belong to him. There's a battle that goes on. And any of you that have any years on you at all, you know about the battle in the mind. That's the big one we fight. Others see us fight the little battle on the outside. The big battle, it goes on in the mind. So number one, the great battleground is your mind. Number two, Satan wants to enter through your mind. Satan wants to enter through your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3 says this, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Here, we're told, that's how Satan got Eve. Y'all ever wonder, there is Eve and Adam and they've got it made. They're living in virtually a utopia. But Satan got to Eve, which created or brought on the fall of all mankind. How'd he do it? Through the mind. Through the mind. It said that Satan got to Eve through his subtlety, through her mind. He got into her mind. Let me put it this way. Satan got into Eve's thinking. And I need to tell you, folks, there are too many of you. You let Satan get in your thinking. You let him get in your thinking. In the Garden of Eden, there was a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, now you don't take of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were other trees from which they could eat, but don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is what Satan said to Eve. Satan said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will become wise. And she said, well, let me think about that. Folks, when Satan throws something at you, don't say, let me think about that. You see, the battleground's your mind. And Satan wants to enter through your mind. Your mind is what he wants. Your mind is his desire. Your mind, by the way, it's your command center. He wants control over that part of you that will control the rest of you once it's captured. If he gets your mind, he gets the rest. So he goes for your mind. So I said, number one, the great battleground is your mind. Number two, Satan wants to enter through your mind. Number three, Satan tries to keep good out of your mind. He tries to keep good out of your mind. Galatians 5:7 says this, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Notice it said, who did hinder you, not what. It's who. You say, well, who's the who? Satan. Who's the who? The devil. Who's that who? Lucifer. It's not what hinders you, it's who hinders you. How do they hinder you? The devil goes after your mind. He wants to hinder good from entering the mind. Let me tell you, I wish I could get every Christian on the face of the earth just to listen to this one simple thing. The devil does not want you in church. Because in church, we put good in your mind. And every time you miss church, there is some good that did not get put in your mind. So whether you like it or not, there's a blank spot. There's territory. And we don't want that territory to be empty. We want it full of good. See, Satan tries to keep good out of your mind. He wants to keep your mind empty. He wants to keep your mind idle. Why? Because he wants space to enter it. Did you know that if your mind is empty, it's easier to put something in it? You know, when my belly's full, I can't put much more in it. Brian, we filled our bellies last night. When we were done, I was done. You get it? If your mind is not full of something good, Satan says, I see my opportunity. So, I said this, number one, the great battleground is your mind. Number two, Satan wants to enter through your mind. Number three, Satan tries to keep good out of your mind. Number four, he cannot, and listen to this carefully, he cannot enter your mind without your permission. He cannot enter your mind without your permission. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice, we can let Christ's mind into ours. The choice is ours. You can either let Christ's mind be in yours, or you don't let Christ's mind be yours. You can either let Satan into your mind, or you don't let him into your mind. You know, folks, Satan has limitations. Do you know you can tell Satan no about your mind? By the way, if you don't believe that, you're probably a pretty nasty person. Satan tries to put stuff in my brain, and I say, I'm not thinking about that. I'm not going there. I will not allow that in my mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. In other words, Satan is not going to, he can't enter my mind unless I let him. See, Satan is not omniscient. That means all-knowing. Satan is not omnipresent, meaning everywhere at once. Satan is not omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. He can't do everything he wants. Only God can. The only way Satan can get into your mind is if you give him permission. You let him in your mind. Now, whether you like that or not is not the issue. It doesn't matter to me. I know what the Bible teaches. My college president said to me, he said, you know, Jeff, you got to teach the young people, a bird could land on your head. You might not be able to stop that bird from landing on your head, but you do not have to let him build a nest there. And folks, a thought can come at you from Satan, but it doesn't have to stay there. He is not, hey, you could say no to that thought. And what some of you struggle with is the thought comes and you say yes to it. You think you're helpless against it. That is not true. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. You either let God in your mind or you don't let God in your mind. And you either let the devil in your mind or you don't let the devil in your mind. And you will have to take responsibility for what you let into your mind. Some of you, you lead yourself into the depression that you go into. You lead yourself into the negative. You lead yourself into some of the sinful things that you do because you let it in. You see, the only way Satan can get into our minds is with our permission. Folks, we have power over our minds. You know you do. I would say everybody in here uses the potty on a regular basis. You learn how to control yourself. Your mind controls you. You have power with your mind. We have power over our minds. We are commanded to use that power. Folks, use your power to help yourself. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Look,
You can cast down those wrong thoughts. You can bring your thoughts into captivity. You can control your thinking. You can. Now, will you? I don't know. That's up to you. But you can control what you think. Satan can't force himself into your mind. You're your mind's doorkeeper. And too many of you just swing it open. Say, come on in. You see, the great battleground is your mind. And Satan wants to enter through your mind. Satan tries to keep good out of your mind so there's space for him to enter. But he can't enter your mind without your permission. Let me go on, number five. Now, Satan definitely has the ability to approach your mind. He has the ability to approach your mind. He approached Eve. Eve let him get in her head. Eve could have said, no, not listen. I won't listen to you. You won't mess with my mind. I'm not listening. She could have done that. Now, see, Satan has the ability to approach your mind. He definitely has the power to approach the door of your mind. But he does not have a key. You and Jesus hold the key. You hold the key to the entry door of your mind. He has great power to approach the mind because he's the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2 says, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. He corrupts men's minds through the power of the air. He doesn't have a key to your mind. You have to let him in. But he has the power to approach. He approaches me. He approaches me through the airwaves that carry sound and pictures. Things like radio, television, internet, telephones, television, music, the voice, songs, words. He's the prince of the power of the air. But wait a minute. I can keep him floating out there. I don't have to let him in my mind. I have a choice about that. These are his weapons. He approaches the battlefield of your mind hoping to enter it using these things. The words that come in. The things that you see. The things that you hear. That's what influences you. You can be having a good day and then you let something in your ears and suddenly you're having a raunchy day. What happened? The prince of the power of the air approached. You let the door open and the negative, the bad, the wicked, the carnal, it came in. Then your spirit is suppressed. He shoots these missiles at the gates of your mind. He wants to blow the doors off your mind. He wants in your mind so he can get your life. If he gets in your mind, he gets your hands. If he gets in your mind, he gets your feet. If he gets in your mind, he gets your passions. If he gets in your mind, he gets your morality. You let him in your mind, he captured your morality. You should have never let him in. Let me go on. You can prevent him. You can prevent him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you struggle with morality. I don't know if you struggle with some addiction. I don't know if you struggle with depression. But I'm trying to help you today. I'm just telling you, folks, don't let things in that take you over and mess you up. Ye are of God, little children, he said, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. With God's help, you can overcome Satan when he approaches your mind. Did you know you can resist him? The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Folks, you got to say no to the devil. There was a campaign, I think, while the Reagans were in the White House, and they were going around and telling everyone, just say no to drugs. Good idea. I can do you one better than that. Say no to the devil. Say no. Your mind needs to say no before you let the junk in your brain. When you let it in your brain, you've not said no. You've opened the door of your mind to it. James 4:7, listen to it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can make him retreat from the door of your mind.
Let me repeat myself, and then I'll get us a little closer to a solution. The great battleground is your mind. Satan wants to enter through your mind. Satan tries to keep good out of your mind. He can't enter your mind without your permission. Satan has the ability to approach your mind, but you can prevent him from entering your mind. Now, I think, with what little reasoning and scriptural knowledge I have, I can give you this morning two quick ways to prevent him from entering your mind. Let me explain. Way number one, walk guard around what you see and hear. Walk guard around what you see and hear. Remember, he's the prince of the power of the air. Let me read a scripture to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind. Folks, stop letting bad things in your eyes. Stop letting bad things in your ears. They are the doorways to your mind. And he wants your mind. He tries to come in through your eyes, and then once he comes in through your eyes, he gets in your brain, then he takes over the life. He tries to come in through your ears. Hey, some of you, you say, my problem is I'm a drunk. Let me tell you, your problem is you're looking at the wrong things. Somewhere along the line, you listen to the wrong things, and that's how it ended up on the inside of you. Stop letting bad things in your eyes. Stop letting bad things in your ears. Stop letting yourself play with the temptations of life. Stop looking at things that you ought not look at. Don't play with sin. Guard your mind by guarding its doors. When you look at and when you listen to wrong, you have opened the doors of your mind. Satan can now enter. He can enter your mind and fight you over doing wrong. You have now invited him onto the battleground of your mind, and that's a bad move. Look, if you're listening to music that you should not listen to, when you get that in you, you've got a battle on your hands. Say, so what do I do? Don't listen to it in the first place. Don't let bad in and then fight a battle with bad on the inside of you. Don't let it in. If a wicked, vile criminal came to your house and knocked on the door and said, could I come in for just a moment? Everybody here would say, you are not coming in here. You could hurt me. Can I tell y'all something? The big battle that you face is with the wicked criminal called the devil. And you too many times when he knocks on the door of your mind, you say, come on in. Come on in. Come visit for a second. Then you want to know why he's taken captive your home and taken captive your mind and taken captive your children. You let him in. You let him in your mind. You're better off not going there in your mind. You see, one of the ways of preventing him from entering your mind is walking guard around what you see, walking guard around what you hear. There's another way. You can prevent him from entering your mind by keeping your mind full of good. Full of good. The Bible says in Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Brother Brian and I shared a steak last night. I could be full of steak, or I could be full of bologna. I preferred steak last night. Now, I'm not against bologna, but let me tell you something. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever you fill yourself up with, it comes out. It's going to come out. Let me recommend something. Keep
yourself full of good. Full of good. When you're full of good, there's not room for the alternative. To prevent him from entering your mind, you keep your mind full of good. When your mind is full of good, there's no room for evil. When your mind is full of good, there's no room for wicked thoughts. When your mind is full of good, look, I love watching the church function. I love watching the goodness of the things of God. I like it, I enjoy it, but I tell you what, it's healthy for me. Because if I'm full of good, there's not room for the bad. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Many of you that come to church often, you've heard this verse before. It says, finally, brethren, meaning Christians, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what God's saying? Fill yourself with good, and there's not room for the bad. Fill yourself with good thoughts. You won't have room for the bad thoughts. Fill yourself with good music. You won't have room for the bad music. Fill yourself with good things. You won't have room for the bad things. Fill yourself with the good word of God. You won't have room for wicked words. You see, fill your mind with good. The full presence of the positive will hinder the entrance of the negative. Why? You're full. You're full. If you don't stay full, there's an emptiness, and the devil wants that space because the battle is a battle for territory in the mind. How backslidden are you? That just depends on what all you got in your mind. You half full of good, half full of bad, then you half backslidden. Because the rest of you responds to what's going on in that thinking element in your life. When the mind is full of good, there's no room for evil. Let me show you. If you're full of love, you don't have a lot of room for hate. You say, I've got a hate problem. No, you have a love problem. You say, hey, if you're full of satisfaction, there's no room for covetousness. Satisfaction is not based on what you have. It is based on what you are. So to whatever degree you're satisfied, to that degree you'll be right with God in the area of satisfaction. Look, if you're full of honesty, there's no room for dishonesty. Because you're full of honesty. When you're full of praise, you won't have a problem with criticism. I'm so busy praising things and praising right and praising good and praising purity and praising good things. I didn't have time to criticize. Those of you that have a critical spirit, your problem is not criticism. Your problem is the absence of the positive. You get the positive in there, you don't have room for the negative. Wednesday night, I preached a sermon on faith and fear. Faith will chase fear away from your life. Hey, faith and doubt. See, I've got a doubt problem. No, you have a faith problem. If you were full of faith, you would not deal with that doubt. Look, you say, look, if you are full of clean things, there's not room for dirty things. When you're full of Jesus, there's no room for the devil. When you're full of peace by faith in God, you're not full of worry. Full of faith, and you're full of peace. There's no room for worry. Folks, it's an easy concept. Don't let the devil in. Don't let him in your mind. You say, how am I going to keep him out? You guard your eyes, you guard your ears, you guard what you take in, and then while you're protecting that territory of your mind, fill it with good. Fill it to overflowing with good. Just fill yourself up. I was at the gas station the other day and pulled in, and you know you can pull that that little handle on the nozzle and walk away, and it'll pump gas on its own. Well, I was at a gas station where obviously the maintenance man had not been in to fine-tune the little handle and it pumping on its own. So I let her take off, and she's pumping away, and I'm just looking around and having a good time, and I look over, and I could hear something, and it sounded like it had something to do with water, or it was splashing, and I look over, and I'm thinking, oh, good gravy. There's a lot of gasoline on the ground. It was full. Well, I ran over, I clicked it off, and I wanted to talk to the maintenance guy and tell him that thing needed to be adjusted, but I put everything back, and I went in to talk to him. I said, hey, I want to talk to you about that pump out there. And the lady said, do you need more gas? I said, no, ma'am. I'm full to capacity. And when the devil approached you last night, tried to get you to do wrong, you should have said, no, sir. I'm full to capacity. I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm full of the Word of God. I'm full of right doing. Young people, one of the best things that could have happened to you yesterday was full of changing lives. When you're out changing lives, you're not busy destroying your own. Full. You see, by doing these two things, guarding your eyes, guarding your ears, guarding yourself from those tools that the devil uses, then filling your mind to capacity with good, you have become prepared for battle. You say, preacher, I want to win the battle against the devil. Then you better guard your ears. You better guard your eyes. You better fill yourself to capacity with God, with the Bible, and you'll succeed. The goal is to keep the war in your mind from happening. Protect your mind. Look, if you really want to have victory, you better guard what you're allowing into your brain. You know, it's time for some of you to stop repeatedly failing in the battle of your mind. Suffer some victories. Get this thing under control. You won't win the battle easily at all if you let him in. The easy battle is don't let him in. Let me tell you something. Young people, you listen to your pastor. And there are some older Christians around here that could stand up and testify. You're better off never taking the liquor. Ever. 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 You say, why? Because it's a hard battle to fight once it's in you. Young people, stay pure till the day you get married. You say, why? It's easier to win the battle of abstinence than to fight the battle of the impurity. It'll take you over. I could go on and on with that list. Fight the battle at the door, not on the battleground. Don't let him in. Guard your mind. That's why I don't listen to a bunch of criticism. I guard my mind. If I listen to a bunch of criticism, my mind then wants to start making judgment calls. I want to guard my mind. I call the sermon, Winning Your Mental Battles. Very simple. But I'll promise you, if you've listened to what's been said, and you'll do that, you'll have more victories mentally. Hey, salvation, a little bit the same way. You have a choice. You can let Christ save you or choose to not let him save you. Just like I can let Christ in my mind or not, I can let the devil in my mind or not. You can choose to let Jesus come into your heart and save you, or you can choose not to. You choose to let him come in, you get saved, you go to heaven when you die. You choose to not let him come in when you die. You'll go to hell according to the Bible. It's not according to Jeff Owens. It's according to the Bible. What will you do? Folks, we too much have been convinced that we can't do this. It can't be done. And God said,
it can. Don't you listen to the devil when he says you can't. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now do it. Now do it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Oh, and I'm not just talking to you about the wicked vices of the world when I talk about this thing of your mind. Oh, I'm talking about some of the depressions of life and the negatives and the fears of life. Oh my, folks, don't let the devil in your brain. Shut him off at the front door. You'll have more victory that way. Back to the subject of heaven and hell. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to the Savior today. If you've never been born again, we in a few moments could take a Bible and show you God's plan of salvation, and you could be on your way to heaven before you walk out this door. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned with my salvation. Pray for me. I'm not born again. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Now listen, you will not overcome the battle of your mind lost. You need the God that moves in at salvation to help you to control your mind. So the question once again, is there anybody here? You say, I'm not saved. Pray for me. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I've seen a hand. Someone else. Let me tell you, if you raised your hand in a second, we'll have a time of invitation. Don't you be afraid to come, and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Now I go to those of you that claim Christ as Savior. I come to you as a friend. I come to you as your pastor. I come to you as a man that loves you. I want you to have victory. I want you to be victorious. I want you to win the battle. Who here would say today, Pastor, I have been challenged. What I've heard today, I can use it. I needed to be reminded that I can resist the devil. I can make him flee. He does not have to get in my head all the time. God has spoken to my heart today. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Yeah, there are hands up everywhere. Lots of hands. Don't let him in your head. That's what Eve did. Eve let him in her thinking. What a mess up. She should have shut him down point blank and said, we're not thinking that way. We're not going that direction with our thinking. God bless you. You can put those hands down. I believe this sermon could change someone's entire life if starting today you decided he's not getting in my brain anymore. I'll shut the door before he comes in instead of try to fight him once he's in there. What a battle once he's in there. Whew. Young people, you stay away from the pornography. Young people, you stay away from the drugs. You stay away from that stuff. It's easier to say no up front than to fight the battle later on. Now, you can win the battle later on because Jesus can help you. But, young people, you keep yourself pure and honest and decent. We're going to have a time of altar call. In a second, I'll turn to the pianist. He'll begin to play. We'll stand. If you need to come, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. There are Christians in here. You really do need to come. There's some of your weaknesses are overwhelming to you. There's a war that's going on in your mind constantly. Folks, you're not going to keep that kind of fighting up in your brain forever. You may be faking me out right now, and you may be fooling everybody else, but the devil knows that you're giving him interest to your mind. And what goes on in your brain is sooner or later going to get the best of you. You may have contained it in the confines of your mind, but sooner or later, it's coming out in your life. It's going to come out in your hands. It's going to come out in your behavior. It'll destroy your life. It'll destroy your marriage. You better get it cared for. Watch out. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play quickly, loudly. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You come and get on your knees and say, oh God, help me to fight the battle. Oh God, help me to shut the devil off right at the entryway. I don't need to deal with him. Win the battle. The battleground is your mind. Satan wants to enter through that mind. He tries to keep good out of your mind. He can't enter without your permission. He can approach you very, very strongly. But you can prevent him. You can resist him. You resist him by guarding what you see and what you hear. And then you fill yourself with good so there's not room for the evil or the bad. Just let your tank overflow with the Word of God. Overflow with the good music of God. Overflow with the goodness of the things of God. The sermon is called Winning
your mental battles. Some of you have been convinced, I can't win this battle. Sure you can. The best place to win it is when the devil's on the outside, not when he's on the inside. And for some of you, you need to start today. You guard what you see. You guard what you hear. You guard what you read. Some of you, and listen, your emails, your texting, some of your Facebook junk, you don't guard yourself from the negative of life. You just let it trash your brain out, and then you wonder why you're depressed all the time. Better guard your mind. Some of you that the depression is so heavy, you say, what am I going to do? Listen, if you'll listen to me, if you'll start doing what I'm telling you, I think you'll see some of the cloud lift. Watch all the negative that you watch constantly on the news. Oh my. Heavy. This is the last time through the song. Thank you, folks. We're going to have a baptism. It won't take us long. Would you have a seat real quickly? And I'm going to say one other thing, and I hope it's not misunderstood, because I don't intend it to be. I'll say something to you. I have never spent 5 seconds of my life depressed over what somebody said on Facebook. How about you? Facebook will not control my spirit or my attitude. I guard it. I think you need a pastor that's on topside, victorious, and seeing the bright side of things. I will not turn my spirit over to things that rob me of what I need to be for the people I love and for the God that I love. Some of you need to get control of what you hear and what you see. You're ruining your own attitude.